Hey, Jen, I definitely don't have any financial disclosures. Do you?
I don't.
Okay,
I don't.
Just checking. All right. Well, thank you all so much for coming. And I'm here to talk about, Jen and I are here to talk about something that's pretty dear to our hearts, and that's the idea of young people. When I talk about young people, I mean young people ages 12 to 23 or 24, young people being involved in advocating for policies for in their communities around health. And so I appreciate you being here and listening to us. So I want to make sure folks understand why we're here. We want to talk about why we engage young people in advocating for local health policies. Why is it important? We also want to look at how we support young people to do this work. What does it take to really engage young people in winning campaigns to achieve real health policies that make health improvements in their communities? And then we want to make sure that we spend some time talking a little bit about what are our lessons learned and what do we recommend for you all? What can we share with you that might make a difference for the work that you're doing in your communities? So Jen and I both work for the Youth Leadership Institute, and the Youth Leadership Institute has been around for about 20 years, and since that time we've been working to engage young people in a variety of different kinds of engagement work that makes a difference in their communities. We really are about trying to make healthier and just communities by engaging young people in the process. And we have been successful in working with young people to pass more than a dozen different local health policies. And we've been engaged them in many more unsuccessful campaigns to change policies. And we've learned a lot of lessons in the process. We're not going to list all of those, but we certainly have had our share, a fair share of knocks. But that's part of the process, right? So I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that we've done successfully, some of the work that we've done with young people. We'll start off by talking a little bit about that. The groups of young people that we've been working with have had some real success in policy advocacy around tobacco. Just recently, due to the work, probably 10 years worth of work by many generations of young people in San Mateo County, we finally actually passed a state-level ordinance that strengthens penalties against tobacco retailers who violate tobacco sales of tobacco to minors. You know, we were not successful for years and years to get local policies passed to strengthen retail ordinances. So you know what? The group of young people took it to the next level, and they worked with Assemblymember Hill, State Assemblymember Jerry Hill from San Mateo, who authored policies that put this law out across the state. And we celebrated that victory not too long ago, and that was a lot of hard-fought years. Right now, we're in the middle of a really important, significant citywide campaign in the city of San Francisco to address the intense concentration of tobacco outlets, stores that sell cigarettes, particularly in low-income communities and communities of color. You might be surprised to hear that San Francisco, a city of about 700,000 people, has 1,000 stores that sell tobacco in lots of different places. And young people that we worked with did a lot of research to find a direct link between the concentration, the density of stores that selling cigarettes and poor health outcomes and also young people's decisions to start smoking. So this group of young people did a lot of research. They built a constituency of providers, youth, parents, and others to support their policy. They researched a lot of different policy options, and now we're working closely with members of the Board of Supervisors to author pretty significant legislation that will hopefully reduce the number of stores that sell tobacco across the city of San Francisco by half. So we're really excited about this. We have a lot more work to be done, but that's an example of another sort of policy campaign that we're working on right now. So tobacco is not the only thing that we're working on. We've had a lot of experience doing alcohol access, particularly this idea of social access, where parents or other adults create dangerous conditions where young people can drink without in often in homes or places where adults should actually be monitoring those situations and preventing that stuff from happening. And we've worked with young people across the state, including so core groups of youth that we supported, that passed laws called social host ordinances that really hold parents accountable for creating these dangerous, unhealthy conditions for young people. We've also worked on the retail side around alcohol, working with young people to pass policies that hold businesses who sell alcohol more accountable to their communities. In San Francisco, too, we passed the deemed approved ordinance. That's this retailer ordinance. And that's starting to make a difference as well. One of the things that the groups of young people that we work with are really interested in is making their neighborhoods healthy and really thinking about healthy food access and making food, healthy food, more desirable and more present in their schools as well. Not too long ago, we worked with a group of students who were successful in developing wellness policy implementation plans in two school districts in Marin County. And that group of young people started then looking at how we could look at the environment around the school and the impact that the environment had, and then identified vending trucks, mobile vending trucks, as an issue that had a really big impact on what young people were actually eating during lunch, and then worked to pass policies that created some reasonable limits around the school so that vending trucks that might be providing unhealthy food to young people might not have access to the school campus. So that was a recent success that we had that emerged out of some other work that we did around school district work. So those are some of the recent work that we've done around engaging young people in health policy.
So I'm just going to talk briefly about what model we use to engage young people. So what are some of the steps that we take young people through? What is our philosophy? So one thing, as you may have guessed from the name of our organization, the Youth Leadership Institute, is we're very much into building and supporting youth leaders. We follow a strong youth development framework based on years and years, like 20, 30 years of youth development research that shows that when you provide strong youth development supports and opportunities consistently and over time, that it leads to the types of outcomes that we want for our young people. So young people who can be the next generation of leaders, who are employed and contribute well to in their communities. So a part of that is viewing young people as resources and not as program recipients, and that's reflected in kind of the way that adults in our organization, the way that we support other adults to partner with young people. So our projects are all strong partnerships with youth and adults working together on policy. So a lot of what we do is direct engagement of young people in policy, but we also, we work with young people to create all types of changes in their schools and their communities to make them healthier places and more just places. So some of the things that we engage them in is doing action research. So a lot of, surveys, focus groups, community mapping, and a variety of research methods to uncover more about community needs, community resources, looking at what solutions will work best. So really uncovering more about what's needed and learning more about issues, and taking those findings out to the people, acting on those findings themselves, but also taking them to the people in their communities who need to hear about them. And then, as Matt was talking about, engagement in policy, but also creating other physical changes in their communities and to make them healthier. So it might be working on school gardens, or it might be making over stores to make them healthier places in their communities. So lots of examples that span from healthy eating to reducing underage access to alcohol and tobacco to making schools a better place. We're working strongly in some of our schools to look at school climate and bullying prevention, looking at whether schools are a safe place for LGBTQ students. So a variety of issue areas, but similar steps that we take them through. So our general model for that spans the types of work that we do are first, gathering our groups together. So recruiting young people, looking at the partnerships that we have, reaching out to other people in the community. A lot of capacity building, so skill building both for youth which can range from everything from how to be a researcher, how to gather that data, how to use it, to public speaking, to how do you facilitate a meeting, how do you talk to a policymaker. So all sorts of skill areas that we work with young people on. And then I think Matt is going to talk briefly later about some of the capacity building that we also do for adults. So not only for ourselves when we work on this type of work, but also we do this work for other people. So we might partner with a coalition and help adults learn how to partner with young people and engage them in their work. And then again, that assessment and action research, a really strong process of action planning and plan implementation, and then going through an evaluation process, so figuring out what worked, what needs to happen differently, and feeding back and seeing if, you know, did we achieve what we wanted to? If not, how do we start over again, or what do we need to do differently next time, or what will we, you know, how are we going to keep this going? So next I'm going to talk about why do we engage young people. So what is, you know, why are we passionate about this? Why is it important to do? So first, as I was talking about, there are a lot of benefits and there's a strong body of research showing that this is a positive, powerful youth development and skill building experience for young people. So that's been a strong part of our evaluation measuring. So how do young people gain? How do they grow? What do they gain? What are the specific skills? What happens to them later? Like, does this impact, you know, the types of adults that they become and what they're able to do? Does this affect their engagement in their communities? And a lot of this is building the next generation of leaders. So that's something that's really, you know, important to us. There's also implications for social justice. So oftentimes, you know, less so now, but in the past, it wasn't very common to engage young people at this level. And in a lot of communities and a lot of avenues, young people are still program recipients. So when you talk about engaging young people, it's about teaching them, you know, why they should eat healthier, or it's teaching them why they shouldn't drink. It's more education to youth, and it's becoming more common, but a part of having an inclusive community and having a strong democracy is being inclusive of all of our community members. And we find that when you engage young people, it means that you're engaging the community as well. It's really hard to just engage young people and not reach out to everybody, because young people really, even if you wanted to, young people wouldn't let you get away with that. And it's important to us that it's a part of this is also just changing the role of youth in the community. When you talk about, you know, some of the things that you do want to prevent with young people, a part of it is when you engage people in the solution, they come up with better stuff than they would if you didn't engage the community, if you didn't engage young people, and it really changes how they interact and kind of changes the dialogue. And, you know, just as a part of social justice, people, including young people, should have input into the decisions that impact their lives. So we also see a lot of benefits for the policy itself, so the types of policies that are passed or the quality, and for the community itself. So as I was saying, we've noticed that youth engagement results in greater community mobilization and engagement. So a part of engaging young people in policy is that you have to really slow things down. So it takes longer. If you're not going to tokenize youth as part of this, it really means, okay, stopping, starting at the beginning, figuring out, okay, so what are we doing? Why are we doing it? Reaching out to people. Young people tend, in all of the work that we've done, young people have done really high-profile community engagement. They want to go out and talk with people. They want to interact with the communities. They don't want to sit in a room and talk about a policy. They want to be out knocking on doors, talking with people, going to community events, seeing what the community thinks about it and getting the input that's really needed to have a policy that's successful and a policy that can be implemented well. Young people are close to the ground, and, you know, a part of meetings when you're starting at the beginning and talking about, okay, what's needed, what are our options, what could this policy look like, there's a lot of dialogue about what are the barriers to this, and young people, we've noticed, are really good at talking through, okay, well, this wouldn't work for the people that I know, or they would think this is stupid, or that's not going to work, or there's these events going on, and people aren't going to, you know, they're really good at troubleshooting and really having that thoughtful dialogue, because they're not at a meeting where they're just saying, oh yeah, social host ordinance, Sure. And not really thinking about it. They really dig into it because they need to know what it's about, what it's going to mean, and why it's going to make a difference. And so we've also just noticed that the policies and the implementation of the policy reflect more youth and community input. It reflects a broader variety of perspectives and youth and community priorities. And then finally, one of our lessons learned is that we've noted in some of the policy work that we've done that youth engagement is a really important resource during tough budget times. So one example is the work that Matt was talking about for health and wellness policy implementation in the schools. We noticed, so this is something that schools had to do. There was a policy passed. They had to have an implementation plan. And you may have noticed that there's been some budget cuts in recent years. And a lot of the staff, the adult staff and the teachers that were working on it ended up getting pink slipped or their jobs were insecure. And they said in follow-up interviews and in surveys that if young people hadn't been involved, that a lot of that work wouldn't have gotten done, that it would have gone to the wayside. It just would have been the thing that went because people are prioritizing other stuff. So really, the work that happened there wouldn't have happened without young people being engaged. And young people also want to know, like, they don't want to just pass a policy or just create a change. They want to know, how is it that we're going to make a difference, or how do we know if it worked? And so there is really deliberate discussion throughout this process of, okay, so how do we follow up? What will we see if this policy is passed? How are we going to know it made a difference? So another advantage for the community is that deliberate focus on follow-up to monitor implementation.
So we only have a few more minutes. I will say that the other good reason for doing this work is with young people, doing policy advocacy with young people, because it's fun. It's more fun than just doing it with adults. But if you're going to go down that trail, you got to know about a couple of things. You got to be really willing to make the commitment of time. You got to put the staff resources out there. And you have to make sure that you have real agency buy-in and support for the work, because it might take a bit longer. There's a bunch of other things that we need to think about, but you know, I feel like you also have to be able to really feel like you can engage not just sort of your traditional youth leaders, not your associated student body presidents, but the young people who reflect the community that you serve, young people who might be marginalized for a lot of reasons but have a lot to offer. You got to be able to work with that group of young people, and that's something that you need to be prepared for. There's a whole host of other reasons, and it's important to be able to do an assessment before you go down that trail. But again, I think it's worth it. There are some pretty serious challenges and pretty important challenges to doing the work with young people that reflect sort of where young people are at developmentally. The whole nature of policy work and policy campaigns is that, you know, it's hurry up and wait. All of a sudden you've got to get something going, and then you've got a lot of downtime. That doesn't necessarily fit with sort of the way a traditional youth program works or sort of where young people are at. So you've got to get creative about how to have small victories, how to sort of celebrate things, how to address some things while, you know, you're policy might be at the city attorney, and the city attorney has taken like 6 weeks to review it. What are you going to do in that 6 weeks to keep the ball rolling? Well, maybe that's a great time to work on building your base, you know, making connections with your constituency, having like a community like event where you're having fun and talking about how far you've come. So really thinking about those things because of the hurry up and wait nature of this work. The other thing that's hard about sometimes doing this work is that, you know, if you're trying to pass policies, it's either passed or it's not. This all or nothing sort of quality is pretty tough. You know, either you win big or you lose. And being able to sort of help young people think about it differently. A couple of the campaigns that I described for you in the beginning, we lost until we finally won. And so it's helping young people understand that process is really critical. And the other thing is that funders, you know, they need to, some funders don't feel comfortable with this work, and so you need to be really clear about what you're doing and what the implications are, because it's politics. It's real politics, and it can make things really challenging. A couple of important lessons learned, and then we need to close. Building in and celebrating small victories, because it is hurry up and wait. The idea of relationships. You can't do this. It's all about making connections with your team, with the community. That's how you get people to step up. That's how you get people out there. And if it's just about the policy, it's not going to work. It also has to be about the people. There are things that are going to come up. You need to be able to anticipate them and have sort of contingencies. And then the idea of doing this work while you're telling a story. Young people documenting their process is not only a powerful experience for them, but it shows them where they came from and where they're going to go. And then you have a compelling story that you can use for decision makers, stakeholders, funders, and others about what you did. Even if you weren't successful, the process is so powerful. So that story should be told no matter what.
So, and this is our contact information. Thank you very much.